The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
It is 8:06. Dr. Bob Denton, he joins us here on occasion every other week or sometimes every week, depending on the needs of this radio show and what's going on in the state and nationally. He's the director of School of Communications at Virginia Tech and the W. Thomas Rice Chair. Good morning, Dr. Denton.
Good morning. Good morning.
So it's good to have you. We've got a lot going on. We have an added guest in the studio this time, getting to talk to you, Trey Watkins, who joins us almost every Thursday. So we had a lot going on in the last few days here in the state, as far as Governor Youngkin and, of course, Joe Biden giving that two-hour-long press conference yesterday. Let's dive into the state first. How do you think Governor Youngkin is doing so far?
Well, clearly, I was moved by the inauguration. Thought it was a wonderful presentation and speech. Mm-hmm. I continue to be impressed with him, both in terms of his content, knowledge, and skill. You would not know that he had not been in the public arena at all. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, though, this mask mandate is the first major test of the administration. It's also, from my perspective, a major distraction for the legislative agenda. He campaigned in terms of, yes, supporting masks, encouraging vaccination, but no statewide mandates. Let localities manage the various issues. And now here we are with legal issues, lawsuits, safety issues. He's activated the Democrats who are already in the Senate, are doing a great deal of pushback and will continue in terms of the legislation. And so I have to tell you, in some ways, he is doing statewide mandates, whether it's about vaccinations and about the mask. And so there's a difference between campaigning, talking to your constituencies, and governing. Mm-hmm. And so, quite frankly, I'm a little disappointed. I thought that he could have a very strong statement in terms about parents. And that's why you have local school boards. That's mm-hmm. why the local elections. That's why school boards have hearings. But so I think it was a strategic mistake right here that's dominating the news and the headlines rather than the legislative agenda, which now the Democrats have their backup. So I think it was a misstep. Mm-hmm.
So you don't think he and look, I said on the show on Monday that I think this should be left up to the individual schools. If the parents and the administration agree that there needs to be a mask mandate, then have a mask mandate. But if you don't, then don't.
And look, it's kind of complicated. My sister is an elementary teacher, double vaccinated, booster, and of course right now she's sick as a dog with COVID. Mm-hmm. Look, which is more important, having the schools open and having the kids there, and then or the safety, and I don't know, if I was a teacher, well, I wouldn't be a teacher, God bless them, but it puts them in a horrible kind of situation, and of course, my sister's, my brother-in-law, is extremely sick as of last night as it relates to the congestion, and of course, obviously, he caught it. He also fully vaccinated with the booster. Look, this is kind of a complicated kind of issue, but it's real. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little bit surprised at the direction that the governor took. So a little bit disappointed there. I think it's going to impact going forward in terms of legislative agenda. A lot of the things he wants now, we see exactly the Senate is going to kill.
And yet,
from the beginning, it's divided government. So
but you've
that's
got,
just me.
You've got Virginia Tech no longer requiring COVID vaccinations or mandatory testing. A lot of these folks are kind of going in that direction anyway. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
But that was a result of the of the governor's executive orders. Now we were 90-some% vaccinated,
right?
Among the faculty, actually, in some ways, in Montgomery County, the safest place to be is on campus, quite frankly. But I've got in faculty who are very concerned, who are mandated to teach in person, trying to bring that experiential back to the classroom environment. But again, how much is the risk? Which is more important? It can't be all or none. And very few things are.
Right.
And so it's problematic. It's problematic.
Okay. All right. One of the things that that we were talking about prior to coming on with you was there are some residents in Richmond who are now wanting to take the statue situation to the Supreme Court. The Richmond residents living near the site where the Confederate Robert E. Lee statue stood for more than a century are asking the Supreme Court to look at this. Of course, they are citing that Virginia promised to maintain the statue in 1887. The Supreme Court of Virginia said that that no longer applies as values and public policy change. So that was removed in September. They're saying that this decision has longer impact because if this Virginia decision is followed, every contract entered into by state government can be abrogated when a governor or court, not the legislature, decides that the contract values violates public policy. How do you think that's going to play out?
Well, I'm not an attorney, and thankfully I don't play one on television or radio, and so it's kind of hard to judge. It's a divisive issue. We know that both Supreme Courts, whether it's state or at the national level, I must tell you, one of the biggest realities I had as an undergraduate, because I thought when the Supreme Court decision, there it is. And I started reading Supreme Court decisions, and they're opinion pieces. They're op-eds. When you read them, it's just their particular view and how they interpret the law. And so it does swing from side to side and different perspectives. And so it'll be interesting. I'm not quite sure how it would turn out, but the current environment, I don't know that it's going to be very successful.
Now, Trey, we were talking about this. As a African-American man, conservative man, they have taken down these statues, and they've replaced them with other statues, statues depicting slavery.
Yeah, that's part of reason why I strongly disagree with the removal of the statues, because it takes us down a slippery slope. And then I'm just even more disappointed that when you take down a statue, and I've heard many arguments about why so many people felt strongly about them coming down. And it was because they said, oh, well, when I drive down Monument Avenue and I see that statue, you know,
just makes
I get
you feel
so
terrible.
Offended, yeah. Because it reminds me of oppression. It reminds me of slavery. It reminds me of our ancestors that, you know, went through such a horrific experience here in America. And then you replace one of those statues, you know, with a slave that's, you know, breaking from the chains, right? So it's now a freed slave. However, it just symbolically and based on the arguments that they were making, I look at a statue like that, I'm like, man, I'm actually far more offended. I've never looked at a Confederate statue or any kind of statue and been offended. I that's just me.
It's a dude on a horse.
Until the TV and the media started bringing it up, I've never met anybody that was offended by a statue. And now I could be wrong. You know, I'm pretty sure maybe some people are, but I never heard people talking about it. I never cared. You know, if someone wants to put up a statue about something and that's what they strongly believe in, and they want to take the time to raise the money because those things are expensive. Mm-hmm. If you want to take the time to get all that done because you felt like somebody's worthy enough to get that done, then more power to you. However, you know, when I go to put my statue up, I don't want to hit no, I don't want to hit that either. So it's like, just leave the statues alone.
Yeah,
it's just you know, it's a totally unnecessary fight that has ended in death.
Right.
It has ended in attempts
division.
To destroy my alma mater at VMI. You know, they've threatened to pull state funds. I mean, it's gotten so ugly and nasty over what, man, a statue. It's very similar to this silly voting legislation in Congress right now. It's a sham of a whole debate. You know, it's not even real.
Right.
Please show me the people that couldn't vote when they wanted to vote.
Right.
Since when? I mean, this is the same legislation, the laws that got Barack Obama elected twice. Mm-hmm. Same that got
twisting.
Trump and, you know, Biden elected the record amount of turnout. It's silly.
Yeah, he said voter suppression. You know, the president was asked yesterday, Dr. Denton, about his, you know, let's say dividing speech that he gave in Georgia, and then he sort of denied it right there on the spot. We played the speech right after he denied it, and then we went back a week and played that. How do you think the president did yesterday, and do you see him really moving at all towards unity if he doesn't get his own way?
No, I was shocked yesterday that he would go almost 2 hours. He had some strong parts, weak parts. He had some reasonable questions, and then some questions that I think were a little bit insulting and what have you. And so if I was among his staff, I would have been horrified that he, one, was there so long, two, was off script. Mm-hmm. I think what you're going to see now is an incremental presidency. And he did talk about his strategy. It was very clear. I'll take one little thing at a time. It's mm-hmm. going to be a piecemeal approach going forward, and you saw the good, the bad, and I won't say the ugly, but he is very vulnerable, and so I don't think that he really overall helped himself yesterday in totality. Reinforced some of the elements. He was reflective. But you also saw some of the vulnerabilities that were there. And he was all over the place.
Right. Well, let's talk about, before we let you go, who is shining pretty brightly in the Commonwealth. Mieres and Winsome Sears, they've been getting a lot of the spotlight as it's been shared a lot with Governor Northam. What do you feel about their performance in this first week in office?
Well, he's a real champion. Very impressed. He certainly has very articulate going forward. He's bold, and I certainly think that, as he says, a new sheriff's in town. Mm-hmm. And so it's very impressive, and it's certainly from what he campaigned on. Lieutenant Governor, now she's quite something too.
Mm-hmm.
I am part of her admiration club without question. Now, she's going to be a little bit hard to, quote, manage in a way. She's got ahead of the governor a little bit there in terms of, well, I think we'll hold funding from those schools with masks. Don't talk to the administration. Be very careful. And look, there are some laws on the book. The mask thing is a legal issue surrounding that in terms of operation. So she's fascinating. Love her story. Her America is my America, but I think she's going to be quite interesting to watch.
Yeah, and, it's not going to be boring.
and might set some things off from time to time.
Could be. It'll be exciting to watch. That's for sure. Dr. Bob, thank you so much for joining this morning on the Morning Jam. As always, we appreciate your insight and your thoughts.
Well, you're very kind, and thank you so much. Enjoy it.
Dr. Bob Denton from Virginia Tech. Trey, you want to hang out one more segment? All
sure.
Right. It's 8:19 on the Morning Jam. We do have to get a life hack in there somewhere. Maybe the life hack would be to look what you've said the week before. That could be good advice to the president. That way you don't step on your own words later on in front of the whole world. And especially,
I don't have any life hacks that can save Biden. Sorry. Not a miracle worker here, brother.
Okay. We'll be right back.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.